This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Looks like you had fun with this article, Ben.
Yes.
And we're about to get into, and we're talking about the column that Ben wrote titled "The Hack Who Pissed Off Harold," that appeared in the Reader on January 29th, 2009. And I'll summarize this for our listeners. The article traces Obama's ascendance to a guy named James C. Taylor, an aide to former Mayor Harold Washington. And the article compares the so-called machine politics of Mayor Washington and the current Mayor Daley. One of the things that I want to talk about is patronage with regards to the Washington administration and the current Daley administration. And just to define patronage for our listeners, patronage, let's see if you agree with this definition, is having a lot of workers on government payroll who either got their jobs because they know somebody, not because they're qualified, or got better jobs for the same reason, or don't have to do a lot of work for the same reason. And those people then are used by people in power when they need workers on the street for campaigns.
Well, you're describing the abusive patronage. I think that in its most generic definition would be people who owe their jobs to their patrons. The board committeemen, the bosses, the aldermen, the what have you, the mayor, who literally gave them their job. Now, it could be that they're outstanding, excellent workers who the public are lucky to have at these jobs. The trouble is that in Chicago, traditionally, there's been tremendous abuse with our patronage system, where hacks are hired because they are foot soldiers in political armies that go out and harvest the vote and keep other hacks in office, wasting our money with stupidity, which is pretty much the system we have. James Taylor, just so everybody knows, I had my tongue in cheek a little bit when I wrote this story. He was one of the great hacks of all time. He was a total creature of the patronage system, made no bones about it. He owed his job to people greater than himself. And in turn, he put together an army of city workers who owed their jobs to him. And then he used those city workers to go beat up on independent black politicians who were trying to run against City Hall. In effect, as I say in the story, he was the tool for City Hall. Harold Washington's great triumph was that he ultimately rallied the black community behind him and trounced James Taylor and ran Taylor out of public office. Once in office, he tried to mobilize his own patronage and turn it to his advantage.
I'm thinking about the different ways that mayors have wielded power. We just talked a great deal about how patronage works and how a mayor in power can use patronage. And I'm wondering if you think there's a fundamental difference in that patronage as being the primary instrument of a mayor's power back in the day, as opposed to today under the current Mayor Daley, where some might say that his main tools of power are controlling services and controlling contracts, as opposed to mobilizing a force of patronage workers to support the other politicians that he wants to support or withdraw his support from.
Well, that's a very valid point. In other words, that there are other means by which a powerful mayor like Daley can exercise his power to keep the populace under control, other than just sending out crews of patronage workers to go intimidate everybody into voting for him. Mayor Daley tried both methods for a while. Of course, in the early '00s, he had this fellow named Donald Tomczak, who was a water department chieftain, who put together a cadre of hacks who would go around and try to bring out the vote for mayor's allies in all sorts of races. He had the Hispanic Democratic Organization, whose main function was pretty much to annihilate Hispanic independence, and they did so fairly successfully throughout the city.
How did they do that?
A lot of it is just flat-out street intimidation. You bring out so many people on the street that you intimidate voters from voting, or you intimidate people into not running. It was the HDO, the Hispanic Democratic Organization, was a promise also that Hispanic people could get jobs in the city if they played along. That's one way of building more street workers. In a sense, it becomes a kept population. One could argue, well, they're getting something out of it. They're getting a job.
It was a way to sort of infuse patronage into the Hispanic constituency.
Yeah.
The way we got on this, as you said early on, that the mayor was exercising patronage.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So Mayor Daley had many different
tactics
and weapons, and one of them was to use patronage to bring out a vote. It wasn't always successful. I think that two things. One, Tomczak went to jail, and there was the great corruption trials of the mid-'00s. So we were talking about the corruption trials that put Robert Zoritch in jail. That was Mayor Daley's
He was head of the intergovernmental organization,
yeah.
Something like that.
He was some muckety-muck.
He was, yeah, like third tier.
Yeah. It's funny how the third tier guy seemed to have more power than the second tier, but I digress. There's been a series of court rulings and criminal cases that have given a blow to traditional patronage. I think that it's probably overkill anyway. Mayor Daley's power is so deeply entrenched in the minds of the peasants of Chicago that he couldn't lose even without a patronage army, so he doesn't really need a patronage army. So I think ultimately your main point is a good one, that in this day and age, you really don't need the patronage army as much as maybe it did back in the 60s when this current mayor's father ruled.
Then what are his instruments of power if they're not patronage?
Well, his instruments of power, he controls virtually every single piece of legislation that comes out of the city. So if you want any kind of law passed or if you want any kind of regulation, you have to go to him.
So he controls the city council, essentially, is what you're saying.
Well, he controls the city council. And he controls the budget. That's his biggest power. If you want any money for anything, you have to go to him.
But if he's not using patronage as much, I mean, if that's our premise, that he's not using patronage as much, what are the ways that he compels the city council to do his bidding? And I know this is stuff that you've written about over the years, but how would you summarize it?
There is still some patronage. I mean,
I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that may be enough to keep some aldermen in line. So if he uses his power to make sure that the alderman gets a few jobs, that may be enough to keep that alderman satisfied. Like I said, he controls the purse, which is ultimately his greatest weapon. So if they want their TIF, or if they want money for streetscaping, or if they want money for any kind of capital improvement in their ward, they have to come to him. He can make their life difficult by calling them out. He's very popular in his city, so if he chides the alderman, it gets the alderman's constituents sometimes get nervous. They think, oh, our alderman doesn't get along with the mayor, therefore we're not going to get the services. There's such a peasant mindset, feudal mindset that people have in this city, a fear that they have that if they speak out, they'll lose their services. They won't get their garbage collector. Their street won't get plowed. I think that's deeply embedded in the psyche of Chicagoans, and it's because we have this vision of Mayor Daley as this all-powerful, generally benevolent leader who controls our city, and we don't want to get on his bad side. So I think ultimately it's the psychological bondage that's his greatest weapon, and that patronage is just sort of a display of the power, you know, that he has. So if you bring out a bunch of hulking thugs and put them on a street corner and have them passing out little hand flyers and intimidating old ladies and young idealistic college students, that's just another way of exhibiting his muscle. And most people in Chicago say, well, you know, you can't fight City Hall. It's all powerful. So we'll go along. It's not too bad. My street was just plowed. And I got my garbage collected yesterday. I'm a happy camper. My God, let's not even get into the big law firms and the banks that do business with the city and gets city contracts. That's another way of having power. It's a very convenient system if you control everything, and he controls everything.
I think we'll leave it there.
Very good.
Ben Drosky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.
This is Dave Glowatz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.